I guess I'll just count us down and then we'll be doing the thing.
Okay, we should count down at the same time.
Oh no, I'm so nervous. Okay, here we go.
Hello, hello.
Natural opening. Welcome to the very first episode of Flourish and Blots, which is something we're calling a two-person book club. And it's hosted by myself, Tyler, and my wife, Jess, who is this voice.
Me. It is I. Yeah, so we wanted to do a podcast, and I think we've done a lot of different podcast iterations, either together or separately. But I kind of instigated this one because I read a lot of books last year.
Like a lot. When you say a lot of books, I feel like most people are probably picturing the pile of books maybe that you read. And I can guarantee you that it's at least double whatever you're thinking.
Like a Scrooge McDuck pile of books.
You just dive into that. You read 83 books in 2018.
What was it that? I couldn't quite remember. It was 80-something in the low 80s.
Yeah, no, sure, low 80s.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, for oh sure. My God. No, but like here's the thing is like I listen to a lot of book podcasts and blogs and stuff. And so I hear about people who read like 200 books. I'm like, I don't know. That's not a lot, but It was a lot for me.
It's a lot. Well, and I feel like maybe this is a good idea that we're doing this from our perspectives because you are absolutely in the literary world. You're surrounded by it. You're reading constantly. You're listening to people talk about books, which is probably the book nerdiest thing you can do.
I love to do a deep dive into nerd culture. Like whenever I'd like to have an immersive experience.
If you're going to do it, you need to do it all the way. I'm totally here for that. What I was going to say though, is I am like the opposite of that. Well, maybe not the exact opposite because it's not like I hate reading.
Yeah.
I love reading. In my youth, especially, I was a voracious reader. Like I read anything I could get my hands on. Mm-hmm. And that's fallen off in recent years, and I am trying to get back into it. And since you're so experienced in this and I'm not, I figured, you know, maybe we can speak to a wide range of experience when it comes to reading.
Yeah. So like we both want to, and I think I'm like where you're at, but like one step ahead because I also didn't read a whole lot until last year because, grad school takes your free time and it puts it in the little box and it says you don't get to have this anymore for these 5 years. So I just recently realized, oh, evenings and weekends are for me now? What? I'm going to read it. So anyway, and you're a very fast reader. So I feel
I
like
am, yeah. If I can commit to reading, my thing is attention span most of the time. There's so many, I'm a big, this, it sounds out of my mouth in 2019, like a weird thing to say. I'm a big gamer.
Why is that weird?
I don't know. I feel like
I'm imagining
very,
like big pharma, big gamer, like where big gamer.
Sorry. It's not quite as sinister, thankfully. No, I feel like when you say you're a big gamer, that sort of conjures an image of, I don't know, somebody who's like 15 years old and streams Fortnite, you know?
Yeah, so I can confirm you don't live in your mom's basement and you do have a job. So.
Right. And
but gamer
has
a bad connotation sometimes, you're right.
True.
Which is unfair.
Yeah, no, it is, and games do a lot of good things. Anyway, I'm not here to like... you know, preach the virtue of gaming. Everybody should definitely play games, and I think there's a lot to learn. But I think games and books have a big similarity in which it's this chance for you to get completely and totally lost in this fantastical world, right? And so I feel from my reading experience, I am craving more of that. So I'm hoping I can sort of dive back into it blindly 2019 and and try to get that again, you know?
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it and together.
Like, yeah, totally. And so
us, you, whoever's listening.
Yeah. And so like, that's the idea of this is like, not just because like, I love reading, but I'm also an extrovert. So I need to tell the people about what I'm reading.
Yeah.
Conversations. And that was like the one thing, like I loved being able to read a lot more last year, but that was the one thing I missed is I didn't get to have as many like conversations and connections.
Yeah.
So this is a great kind of built-in way. So I don't constantly pester you and be like, I'm reading this thing, I must tell you. Like,
yeah, not that I don't love to hear that, but obviously, you know, when you're at a certain level or when you're really feeling some sort of piece of media that you're consuming, you want to talk to others who have also consumed that thing and talk about your experience with it.
Exactly. And like now I have a scheduled time where we this is what we do is talk about books, and I love that.
I'm so ready for so many different reasons. I do want to say right up front, if people who are listening to this are not big readers, we're not going to, I don't like to listen to things that overwhelm me with a bunch of different, you know, reading content, like making me feel inferior kind of in a way.
Yeah, no.
So that's definitely not the intent. You, the whole point of this is that you can do this kind of stuff at your own pace, and you don't have to, even if you don't consider yourself a reader, quote unquote, you can still get some enjoyment from reading no matter what you're doing.
Totally. And this is all about like you do you. So I'm a very slow reader, so I probably could have read a lot more if I read at your pace. But like, I like to take my time and I read every word like aloud in my head, which I know you're not supposed to, but I like to do that.
Hey, look, if that works for you, then whatever. That's totally okay. And I think another handy trick that you have, at least, is you are the master of using multiple formats. So like you'll be reading a physical book, an ebook, and listening to an audiobook all at the same time.
Yeah. And usually a graphic novel too.
At all. And a graphic novel, yeah. Man.
Yeah. And that's another big thing is I'm over people saying that like listening to an audiobook is not the same as reading a book, because it absolutely is. Your brain is activated and working in the same way when you're listening to an audiobook as when you're reading a book.
Yeah,
so your brain
still
can't tell the difference.
Visualizing everything that's happening. You're just not reading the words on a page.
Yeah. And not everyone can physically read a book. So audiobooks are very accessible. So anyway, however you read or want to read, and like, I don't think we're even like, I think on Goodreads we have number goals about how many we want to read, but I think this idea of having a two-person book club is a lot less about reading a ton of books together, just as much as like being able to talk about books in general.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, how about this then, maybe let's start with what we're currently reading.
Would you like to go first?
I guess I can go first. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like you're the authority, so I should always be deferring to you, but...
No, that's gross. Don't do that.
Yeah, I don't mean, you know, I mean the book authority. You know,
but you're a reader too, and this is something that's important to both of us. Like, at our wedding, we had, like, book-themed things. Like, our cake topper had books on it.
It was so awesome.
Our guest book was... Love by Eric. I'm gonna have to look up his name. Carl.
Oh man. Yeah.
So we had people
even our save the dates were like library card due date, like stamp card things. Yeah.
That you made. Yeah. So cool. So like this is something that's important to both of us. So like, just because I quote unquote read more doesn't mean I'm like more of a reader or like a better reader. I don't know, like whatever.
Yeah,
your turn.
Okay, cool. All right, let's get into it then. Okay, so what I'm currently reading is Wild If You Knew Me, because I think technically at the moment 1, 2, 3, 4 five. I'm reading five books. I'm not reading very many novels right now. But the first one I want to talk about is actually a gift that I got from you. And by you, I mean Jess and not the listener.
Thanks, although, listener, know. For already gifting us with books.
For real.
Which, by the way, if this takes off and becomes a thing, I'm totally open with setting a PO box open. Y'all can assign
seriously,
me.
Seriously.
I will do
honestly,
that.
Yeah.
I'll do that for you.
Please. Summer reading, winter reading, please. So anyway, okay. So this is a gift from you. It is Lin-Manuel Miranda's Good Morning, Good Night. Little pep talks for me and you. And I'm a huge fan of Lin-Manuel Miranda's. He's an incredible human being. But one of the best things that he does, and I think he's been doing this for a long time, is on Twitter for a while, and I think maybe even still currently, he does these good mornings and good nights where he just – sometimes it's in – like verse form, like it'll rhyme. Sometimes it's just a random thought, but he just does these reflections almost. And they're usually tied. So the morning and night are related. But it's like a first thing when you wake up, check in and like, you know, whatever you're worried about, whatever you're feeling at the moment, you're going to get through it. Today's going to be okay. And then at night, just checking back in and saying, look, you're still here. Everything's all right. You know, it's going to be okay. And it's just seriously one of the most wonderful. I have the pages open right now. I'm looking through it. I love this self-care, like the level of self-care that is going into the writing of all these. This is what I want my year to be about, you know, is taking these times to be mindful and just good to me first before I then go out into the world and try to do whatever I have to do for the day.
Yeah. And just, you've read like a couple of days to me. And I think what just stands out is like, basically Lin-Manuel Miranda is teaching you how to do self-compassion. And he's like teaching you how to like talk nice to yourself. And he's like, you're a little buddy that's there for you in the morning, in the evenings. And it's just like, hey, you're all right. You're doing it.
It's that. Honestly, it's just great. Like, I have one of the pages open and it's illustrated by this guy named Johnny Sun, and all the illustrations are just great.
Yeah, he did a comic that was really buzzy a while back.
I'm trying
to remember what it was called. I think it's called If You're an Alien, Then I'm an Alien Too.
Probably says in the back of the book, huh? Yeah. Everyone's alien when you're an alien too.
Yeah. Yeah. Which looks super cute. It's on my very long TBR list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. TBR. That's great. Okay. So, like, I have this page open, and the first one is the good morning is, good morning, you magnificent slice of perfection. Yeah. You. And under that is like a very ornate looking cake plate with the deepest dish pizza you could possibly imagine. It looks like a pie. Mm. Like it's a 6-inch deep crust.
I'm so hungry right now.
I know. So that was the good morning. And then on the separate page, it's a slice taken out of that pie. And it says, good night, you generous helping of flawlessness. I'm looking at you.
Oh.
Isn't that great?
I just feel so like nourished.
I know, you know, just that little bit of like, he's not saying that to me, but
he
just feels like somebody's out there thinking about me, and it's a great way to start my day and to end my day. And so thank you so much for that. I would encourage anybody to pick that up. It's a great coffee table book or something to keep by your bedside. Very, very highly recommended. Do we want to alternate, or should I just go through all mine now?
I don't know. Let's alternate to give your voice a rest.
Yes,
nice.
Please. Thank you.
Take
a sip of my Diet Dr. Pepper.
Since we have a lot of books to talk about, I'll talk about one I just finished yesterday.
Okay.
Because that's technically reading. So I just finished reading The Female Persuasion by Meg Wolitzer. I listened to it on audiobook, and I really enjoyed it. So it basically is this dive. It starts from one character's perspective, but then it kind of jumps around to a lot of characters in this overall story. But the main kind of story arc is this young woman who is starting out in college, just kind of coming to her own, and part of her identity development and figuring out who she is as a feminist, like part of that narrative is that she gets molested by this popular guy and reports it, and like nothing really happens of it. And so like, and I think that's a very relatable story of, you know, you college freshman go to a frat party, have just one drink, and some jerk takes advantage of you, and you know, but it's like, oh well, you were asking for it because you were flirting with me first, and you know, that kind of narrative. So she then goes to this talk by this really big like feminist activist, and that kind of like inspires her, and she asks a question during the talk, and then she gets in touch with this woman and ends up eventually working at her organization. And so it's kind of follows the young woman Greer's story, like through college into her like early profession, and then kind of wraps up with like it ties in right at the end of the story when she's like in her early 30s, and you kind of see where her career went. But then there's all these other little components, like she's been dating her high school boyfriend like through college, and you kind of see where their paths kind of overlap and then go in separate directions and then loop back again.
Does that kind of stuff distract you? Like, so do you have trouble with that?
I love multiple perspectives. Like, I love a chapter from one character, then chapter from another character, because I like getting in different heads.
Right.
I think with this book, I loved it. I gave it 4 stars on Goodreads. If you care about
that. That's a very good metric for that.
But yeah, but like it wasn't perfect to me, because I think not just the jumping around from characters' point of views, but time didn't. And I think I talked to you about this, about how like you'd be in hearing about her at some point in college, and then it flashed back to when her and her boyfriend first started dating in high school, and then like you know, it kind of jumps around temporally and in characters' perspectives, and so I think that made the pacing feel a little bit off. Like I like starting out, I was like, oh, here's a college freshman, so I'm gonna see her through college, but it kind of just jumps to like graduation pretty quickly, and I'm like, oh
weird,
okay, I guess we're done with college. You know,
that wasn't like an entire experience.
Yeah, and then like, so it was in like 4 parts, and sometimes like the end of one part it would like jump forward like 3 years, and I'm like, whoa, hey, what, but what happened, like. So that was the one thing that I didn't love about it, but I liked the characters, I liked the ideas, so yeah, I really enjoyed it. And the audiobook was good. I like the narrator, because I think they did a good job of, you know, there are a lot of different characters and stories, but I felt like I could still distinguish who was talking, even though they didn't do like wildly crazy different voices for everyone.
Yeah.
And I have a small bias. I do like, I tend to like female narrators more in audiobooks. Because sometimes some male narrators do really high-pitched voices for women characters, and that drives me nuts. But it's like, yeah. Oh, I'm Margaret. And I'm like, no one talks like that. No.
I know. I agree. And, you know, the flip side of that is when female narrators try to, like, almost lower their voice, like, lower than would be comfortable for them. So there's definitely, like, a middle ground that I feel like is hard. You know who I think did it really well is the and he's probably done all of them. I just don't listen to them enough. But the narrator for Origin by Dan Brown. He did a great job, and not just very subtle accents, like subtle Spanish accent that was, you know, you could clearly understand the English. But it was very subtle accent, and also very subtle, just a raising of like his intonation for the female voices. And it was good. Everything was basically based around his own voice, but you know, differentiated enough that you could tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of good like accents and audiobooks, the Crazy Rich Asian series, the audiobook narrator was fantastic, and like it was just a totally different experience to hear the various dialects being spoken rather than trying to read them and think about how they might be pronounced, you know? So not totally not to knock male narrator. So
we're not at all about
Harry Potter in a bit, but like the narrator for the Harry Potter audiobooks is fantastic.
Oh man. Jim Dale, I think is his name.
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
Very good.
He's incredible.
So that was The Female Persuasion by Meg Wolitzer.
Nice. Well, man, we're going kind of slow through these. I totally did not mean to drag these out as much. I'll just kind of go through the rest of mine pretty quick. The only real novels that I'm reading at the moment are the two that I'm reading with you.
Yes.
One of them is the recently released An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green. We even have a signed edition, which we're very happy about. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of those now. We have that. We have Turtles All the Way Down by John Green. I think we have a signed one. I don't know why. I like that.
Yeah. I got The Sun and Her Flowers by Rupi Kaur. I got that one signed, which is cool.
So this book is fantastic. The little bit that I've read of it, like I said, it takes a lot for me to stick with a book so much that I just get totally lost in it. And I was there for a while, for about like 3 or 4 days on our trip that we were just on over Christmas. I just ate it up. I couldn't stop. But then I realized video games existed again, and that's why I have 4 or 5 books open. But, we're all making our way.
Maybe you should listen to audiobooks while you play video games.
I probably should. Yeah. It's just some games, like, I really like to hear the sounds and stuff.
Yeah, so, that's true.
But anyway, yeah, no, it's an option. This book is great. I think Hank Green does a really awesome job of writing this very specific internet popularity point of view that is very fun to read about as a person who has a lot of creative content producing interests. That's fascinating to hear, like in a fictional book even too, is very cool. I don't want to say too much about the book, like the content of it, because if you don't know anything about the book, I would recommend not. Like, don't read anything about it.
Yeah.
Pick it up because the more surprised you are, the better. And that's all I'll say about that. And then the other books that I'm reading are The Illustrated Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. We'll get to that in a second. We have an entire segment just for that. because Harry Potter plays a big part in our lives. And like I said, we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay. So I have just a couple more books to talk about. I'll just go through these real fast. One of the things I want to do in 2019 is learn to draw. So, I have a lot of drawing books I got for Christmas. One I'm very excited about is You Can Draw in 30 Days by Mark Kistler. It's billed as the fun, easy way to learn to draw in 1 month or less. And that sounds kind of nuts, probably for most people. But honestly, I mean, you know me, like I don't really have any drawing skills. Matter of fact, I did some like preliminary drawings to sort of get a baseline of where my drawing skill was at. I did a drawing of memory from Jess, or of Jess.
I and, did not recognize me.
That's because you're barely recognizable as a human form.
No, that's a little too harsh.
But I've only done four of these little lessons so far. And like that one that I drew last night, it was these overlapping spheres and learning about like depth and how things are shaded when they're in 3D. I'm kind of proud, actually.
Yeah.
You know, the progress that I've made in only like a handful of these days, just with a couple of really easy principles, it's very encouraging. So I would say if anybody's looking to learn how to draw, pick up a book like this and just, you know, you're not going to lose anything by doing this. I would highly recommend it. I also wanted to take a quick second to talk about why I spend the majority of my bookish time in nonfiction books.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like you don't ever, well, unless it's like a biography, I feel like you very rarely read nonfiction.
Because I had a lot of assigned nonfiction for school. But yeah, I'm actually currently reading a nonfiction right now. But yeah, yes, you are. I much prefer fiction, and I think you typically read a lot more nonfiction, yeah.
Really? And it's only because I love learning.
Yeah.
So most of what I read is like how to do things books.
You are a total Ravenclaw.
I absolutely am. Yeah, so I have several of those books. And then one last one for me real quick. We watched on Netflix the other night, brand new show called, what's it called? Tidying Up?
Oh, yeah.
Or Tidy Up, something like that.
Tidying Up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Marie Kondo. And the book, we just checked it out from the library, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing. And it's the most – go watch the show on Netflix, like, right now, because it's the most satisfying thing to watch her go into these people's houses and treat the – like, it's just so much love.
Mm-hmm.
And positivity and like really good vibes. And,
yeah.
I just need a lot more of that in my life at the moment. And watching her go in, take everybody's, like they take all of their stuff out of what it is and look at it, which is terrifying. But then they go through each and every individual piece of clothing and stuff in the house and decide whether or not it makes you happy. And if it doesn't, then you thank it and you put it away, or, you know, you get rid of it.
And I love that. It's so
I do too. I have to watch so much more, but I'm excited to dig into that. Anyway, I think that's haven't started it yet.
Okay.
But it's here on my drawing table. I don't know if this is a thing for you. This is a quick tangent. I love when I'm listening to a podcast and I get a little glimpse of where they are when they're talking. So to set the scene for me a little bit, we are recording this in separate rooms despite being in the same house. And really that's only just so we could get better audio. Anchor is how we're recording this. So if you're listening on Anchor, you know, feel free to send us a message or something. But anyway, all that to say, it's very silly that we have ourselves sectioned off, but earlier on in our relationship, we also dated long distance for mm-hmm. several years. And this feels a lot like when we used to call each other and just talk for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I have like hours long phone conversations.
So that's fun. But I am in my office space area that has a, how do I describe? It's got a big window with a bench seat in front of the window. And I'm over to the right under some shelves where I have all my gaming stuff. I have just today, as a matter of fact, Jess helped me put everything into kind of a drawing table. So I have all my supplies here and I'm looking right out the window at the street and the pretty colors and lights, and it's very nice. So that's where I'm at. Why don't you tell them where you're at?
Yeah, I'm
she's about 30 feet away from me on the other side of a wall.
Yeah, basically I'm in our living room area. So I got like computer set up on our coffee table and I'm on the couch. I also have a nice window view, so that's lovely. Get some natural light coming in. Mm-hmm. And I can also see all of our books on our bookshelf, which we probably need to get yet another bookshelf because now they're starting to stack on top, you know?
Yeah.
So
we never have enough bookshelves. And it's because we never cycle books out and, like, redonate them. Like, we do that very rarely, but we almost always, like, probably bringing in like at least 5 books a month into this house.
Yeah, you know, and I've gotten better at this because I've been more actively going to the library, which I love. Mm-hmm. Libraries are like, it just blows my mind that we're just allowed to have these free books. And
yeah, it seems too good for us now.
It does. Like,
we don't deserve that.
I feel like a lot of times the government doesn't give me a lot, but it gives me libraries. So thank you.
We've done nothing to earn it, but I love that we have it.
Yeah, so I've been taking in less books with that. But our library also does like half-priced used book sales. And so I'll get 30 books.
They call it Friends of the Library.
Oh, yes.
And I feel like a friend.
Yeah. Yep, so that's where I'm at. Are you done with your books?
I'm done with this one. I think it's time to take a quick break before we get into the
before I'm saying the last book I'm reading.
Oh no, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay, pretend like I didn't just cut you off, and I'll definitely not remember to edit out that I just did that. So go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, last book I am currently reading. My Own Words by Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that she also kind of wrote with Mary Hartnett and Wendy Williams. And I'm really enjoying it because Ruth Bader Ginsburg is, like, amazing, but I feel like I don't
love
know.
Love me, RBG.
Yeah, but I feel like I don't know too much about, like, who she is as a person in her life, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm only like 70 pages in and I'm like, I love her. I want her to be my grandma. But
I think it's funny that you say that despite the format that it's presented in, because you said it was a little strange.
Well, yeah. So it's called My Own Words. And what is meant by that is here's a collection of her speeches, which is fine.
Oh, wait, hey, hang on just a sec. Oh, God. God.
There was no way that you could suddenly have done that.
I couldn't. I was like, I know it's coming, so I'm just going to have to tell her.
The best part is I could hear you through the wall and through.
Well, I don't know if I can edit that out now. That was very funny.
No, we're keeping that. That's a keeper.
Oh, no. Sorry about my nasty sneeze, everybody.
Yeah. Every podcast needs some phlegm, right?
Man. Yeah, we were too good there. We had to bring it back down.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Now you can tell we're amateurs.
Sorry. Anyway.
But yeah, so I'm still getting glimpses into her life because there's, like, introductions to, like, before it introduces like a speech or a previous writing that she's done, it'll give you context to what was going on. Like if she wrote a letter to the editor in her undergrad, it tells you about like what was going on during her college years and some formative experiences and that kind of thing. So I love seeing into her world. I just wish it was written more like an audiobook where it was more her talking to me. Cause mm-hmm. like, she does that in the intro, and I was like, yes. And then it changed, and I was like, where'd you go, Ruth? Like, come back. but I'm still enjoying it. They're going to write a biography for her closer to the end of her term. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably read that, too, because I think that'll this is great. It just wasn't what I expected. So, but I think biography will be more like what I expected. So, yeah.
Sweet.
And that keep is, My Own Words by Ruth Bader Ginsburg et al.
Well, now that we have drawn to the very natural conclusion for the first time, I should say, at the end of this segment, we'll take a quick little break, and then we'll come back and talk about at least the namesake of this podcast, or its related world. And yeah, natural segue. Here we go.
Segue, segue. Yeah, so we came up with this name Flourish and Blots because mm-hmm. I think when I think about reading, like anytime someone asks me, what's your favorite book? I'm like, Harry Potter, duh. And also yeah. me pick a particular one. We are 90s babies. We grew up with Harry. Like,
yeah,
the books, the movies, this was part of our childhood and continues to be an important part of our lives.
Yeah, I think we were the first like generation of people to like I grew up with them. I read them in school starting from like second grade.
Yeah. I started reading Harry Potter in, so this will date me, 1999 when I was in the third grade.
Yeah.
And so Harry was 11 and I was 9. So like,
yeah, very, you know, close.
Yeah. So as I was reading it, I was about the same age as Harry. And I think I lapped him, you know, because
yeah,
J.K. Rowling can only write so fast. And apparently I age faster than she writes. But but yeah, so this is a part of our childhood. What I love, what we're doing right now is we're reading the illustrated versions. And I feel like this is like a great new reintroduction to
the it's so delightful having the visual there to add on to something that's already so familiar and comfortable and wonderful. Like I love mm-hmm. being immersed in the world of Harry Potter just purely through text. Yeah. So to have these incredible illustrations, and it's all the way through, they're woven into the writing itself. Like it's not just pictures every so often. It's like on the page, the writing will be coming in and out of the image. Mm-hmm. And it's just so amazing.
It's beautiful. And like, you know, I already know, like, okay, our future kids are going to be Potterheads. Like it's going to happen.
Yeah, but like, well, I mean, like, they just don't have a choice.
Yeah, sorry. Harry was in my life before you, so.
And he'll be here after you leave me. I will return to Harry.
This is why we're not currently parents. But anyway, I could see us like reading this to our kids. Yeah. It's great. And so it's been a while since I've done a reread of the books.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, I don't think I reread them that much. Like I have friends who have read them. Like how many times have you read the books, would you say?
Oh gosh. The first three, I just honestly would finish 1, 2, and 3 and then start back at 1. Like I never,
yeah.
When I was that age, I would, you know, be reading instead of doing school assignments. Mm. Like I would get under my desk and read. So literally dozens and dozens of times. Yeah. Less so after the fourth one came out. I've reread that one several times too, but they started to get way, way longer.
Yeah. So yeah,
it was harder to do full series rereads after a while, which I'm kind of glad for because it's really been a long time since I've done a full series read of Harry Potter. And I just cannot express how excited I am to do it. I'm so ready. I know.
This is, it's so great. And yeah. Like, I feel like now there's so many different ways to experience this. So like after we read the illustrated, we can then go watch the movie. We can yeah. listen to their various podcasts that break yeah. down and talk about them. We were just in Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure and we went into the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. So like,
yeah,
you know, it's great. Yeah. So currently we have read, we're about 100 pages in. We are at chapter 7, The Sorting Hat.
Mm.
And
right when it starts to really, really get good, you know?
Yeah, because I think, you know, I think at the time going back and rereading it, like, you know, J.K. Rowling, she's a great writer, but starting out with, like, the Dursleys, you're like, I don't care about them. Get to the magic part, you know what I mean?
And they're just so miserable. Like, they're just so mean over and over and over again to Harry, and you're just like, Harry, you deserve so much better. Please, come on, we can get you out of here.
Well, and it's not even that Harry deserves better. Like, any child deserves better.
Yes.
And it's like, heartbreaking. It's, like, it's... I think it's borderline, like, child abuse, like,
yeah,
how they treat him. It's sad.
Yeah.
So in any
But anyway, event, we love these books, guys. Seriously.
Yeah. No, so this is exciting. I think in the first one, so much more than the other ones, like, you are introduced to the magical world through the eyes of Harry, who's simultaneously being introduced to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's a nice perspective. There's also something very, like, I know that this was probably more of a middle grade style of themes and writing than some of her subsequent novels. But it doesn't feel that way. Like, it doesn't feel like
I'm reading
a kid's book, you know?
Really, the only brief glimpses of that I get throughout reading it are, like, at the very beginning, there's some pretty cutesy ways of phrasing some things. Like, you know, talking about how normal the Dursleys were. They wouldn't have put up with any nonsense. And, like, then all this nonsense starts happening. So that's kind of antics happening in, like, a book maybe geared more toward kids. But honestly, she doesn't dumb down the writing. Like, there's
no
there's words in there that I'm like, wait, how in the hell would I have known what that word meant, like, when I was that young reading these books?
Context clues, like, yeah. You know, it helps you learn.
It does. And I really appreciate that as an adult, that it's so easy to pick it. If anybody's listening to this podcast that hasn't read Harry Potter, like, I get it. There's 100,000 other Harry Potter fan casts out there that will probably do a better job of, like, analyzing the books. But these books were just so transformative to both of us as – not transformative, formative. To both of us as readers, I think, that we just can't not have a recurring talk about it, I think.
Yeah.
Because no matter what I talk about in literature, I'm always going to compare it to Harry Potter, because that was my first, my last, my everything, you know? It's exciting. And despite the amount of times I have read the beginning of these books, it's still exciting, and I'm still finding new things that I haven't found before.
Yeah. Like, you've been saying, like, multiple times today, like, I'm so excited about reading Harry Potter again.
Yes, I know. And that's why it's killing me that we're reading it together, 'cause that's all I want to do is read it. But
yeah, 'cause it's slow. So I think I'm going to have to, we have this because this was a present I gave to you a while back. So I will forfeit it to you, because it's fair, rather
at
than
at least by, like, the chapter, you know. I'll read a chapter, then you can read it, and then we'll just pass it back and forth or something.
Well, I also have the audiobook too, so.
Yeah, but we it's the illustrated one. And here's the other thing, guys. I don't know if people know this either. The illustrated Harry Potter is also available at some libraries.
We have the second one on waitlist,
and I'm so excited. Like, when they come out with the fourth one, I will have to go out and get all four, I think, because the fourth one is one of my favorite books, and I need to own them.
No, we're collecting all the illustrated. And I'm still gonna keep all my original hardbacks,
because
I don't care.
At all.
Oh my god. You know what is the cutest thing is, so I think all of the hardbacks that we own were all mine, except I had the paperback first, the Sorcerer's Stone. So then when we merged our bookshelves, you know, because marriage, I was super excited because you had the hardback, so they could be all pretty. And my favorite part about it is your mom's inscription. It says To Tyler, my little wizard, happy 14th birthday. Love, Mom. Smiley face. Ah! That's so cute.
That's pretty much a dead-on representation of my mom, actually.
God, I love it. I love finding other people's inscriptions in used books. So cute.
That is a very... I feel like you should collect that into a coffee table book or something.
Dude, just a bunch of... I love your idea, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but I got really excited. I want to collect like multiple of the same book with different inscriptions, you know?
Oh, okay.
Pick out what my favorite book is, you know, pick out a favorite book, and then collect like multiple ones of them that I come across that have really good inscriptions.
That's a great idea. I fully support this.
I think I like your coffee table one, though, because that won't require me to get an entire bookshelf just for it. So, yeah.
I mean, you're going to do that anyway, but...
Eh, you know.
Yeah.
Can we live in a library?
We can. And then that's the end of that sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we don't own our home, but... When we eventually, maybe one day, become homeowners, do you remember in Beauty and the Beast when she gets in
the library with the sliding ladder?
Yes, I want that. Please, can I? That's all I want. You know, yes. I don't care how many bedrooms or bathrooms or whatever. Oh, man. You know,
it have the library room, first of all, where the shelves are built into the walls?
Yeah, love it.
And is there a sliding ladder? Because if there's not, no deal. No sale, madam.
Thank you.
We will not be buying this house.
No, thank you. Not interested. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we're both on the same page about that.
Yeah. Actually, not that picky. Just like roof, check. Cool, I'll take it.
Yeah. And then the sliding library ladder.
Yeah. That's no, all actually, you need. Yeah. we've just been really enjoying digging right in. And so I think that's like our big, I guess, thing that we're going to focus on with this two-person book club is we're gonna do a reread of all the books.
I think I want to open this up probably to more than just us. If you're looking for an excuse to reread Harry Potter, or if you've never read Harry Potter before and you really are just trying to figure out what all this fuss is about with this boy, but he does tricks on people, maybe like with magic, I guess.
Please come out of the rock you've been living under. Join us. It's safe. Like,
yes.
We have thematic candy. Like, come to us.
Thematic candy. I love it. If you're wanting to do that, we would actually love to hear from you specifically. Feel free to send in anything related to Harry Potter. You know, anything we talk about, anything book related. If you use the Anchor app, that's ANCHOR, in case you need some help with that, it's available on both Android and iTunes, or iOS rather. You can actually record us a message and, you know, we'll get that directly and we can even put it on the show if it's interesting or noteworthy. So that's a fun thing.
That's fun, or anything, because it'd be fun to talk to people. I love that.
Yeah, we want to hear from you. Obviously, people, you don't have to just listen to the show on Anchor for those of you who aren't, but I'm sure you already knew that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so definitely do that, and we'll continue and get very excited about Harry Potter. But that's the thing we're going to be doing with every one of these episodes.
So I already spoiled what house you're in, calling you Ravenclaw, but since the chapter we're on is the Sorting Hat, I will leave it up to people who are listening to guess what my house is.
Okay, what house do you think Jess is in if Tyler is a Ravenclaw? Based on what you've heard so far, let us know, and we'll be right back after this break, actually.
So this kind of last section of our
podcast. We need a better name for it.
we don't have a name for it. We'll come up with something. But this is like open forum, like whatever.
It's like miscellaneous, but
yeah.
But like a better, You know, there's got to be a better way to say it, because this is the fun stuff.
Yeah, this is just where we talk about, like, whatever reading, book culture, literary news, like, anything that's, like, on our mind that we want to, like, talk about or are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that might be kind of jumping around to a lot of different things. Today is a little more focused because, you know, in addition to this podcast, in addition to rereading all the Harry Potter books, we are wanting to do some kind of reading challenge.
That's right. Man, can you, are we overly ambitious a little bit?
No, do it.
No.
Yes.
There's just so many things, but you know what? Nobody says we can't. Yeah. So yeah. Whatever past me or current me, I don't know.
New year, new life.
Yeah. I'm into it. Look, and I think there's we've been looking around at other reading challenges.
Yes.
To try to we were originally looking at them because Jess completed one last year. Yes. That's how she read so many of those books. And we were looking around for contenders for something for maybe for us both to try. And I was looking at things like the Read Harder Challenge, which is the one you had done.
Yes, I did the 2018 challenge. It was great. I loved it. I felt it really pushed me to read things I wouldn't have normally read in mm-hmm. terms of different genres. It pushed me to read more diverse authors and characters. And like, that's something I'm wanting more in my life. It was great. Actually, one of my favorite books that I read last year was something I never would have picked up. So the category was read a Western. I had zero.
Oh, yeah.
I read Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry, and it was fantastic. I loved it. I can't wait to read the sequels and the prequels to it.
Which is nuts, because not only is it a Western, which I don't think I would like, I would never turn to that genre for entertainment for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it just seemed hokey or like kind of tropey or something. And that novel is a behemoth.
Yes, it's 945 pages.
Which had to have loved it to read it for that long.
And like the writing's just really good. The characters are great. It very much has the feel of a Western, because like the first 100 pages, all they're doing is sitting around and talking. They haven't gone anywhere, done anything. Like it takes its time, and it felt appropriate. So I loved it, and like my sister and my brother-in-law love the is it a TV series or a movie?
I think it's a movie.
Okay, they love that.
I mean, so it's been made several times into a movie, right. I think.
Right. So they've been wanting me to watch it with them. And that's something that if they had asked otherwise, I might be like, I guess. Like,
yeah.
If I'm visiting y'all over the holidays and I'm trapped in your house and I have no choice, sure. But like, now I'm like, I really want, I need to see, you know? The 2019 Book Riot's Read Harder Challenge is also really great. Diverse categories, but it almost feels a little more specific.
Well, and this is where we talk about the trouble of somebody like me who, despite my huge list of books I'm reading right now, most of those books are like either instructional or just sort of, I check this out so that maybe I will read it,
which
is definitely more my speed. And so to look at a challenge like Read Harder, for me as like a very tentative reader at the moment, it's so intimidating.
It's 24 books.
Yeah, it's 24 books, which is a lot, but you know, and I'm okay to committing to that because 2 books a month sounds doable to like mostly everybody. Could probably go, look, yeah, I can probably find a way to read 2 books. But the categories are difficult on purpose because it's challenging you to go outside of what you would normally read
and read more
diversely. For somebody like me who is pretty much back at the beginning of like venturing back into reading again, I just thought maybe we could come up with something that was a little bit better, and that maybe people would be a little less scared of if they wanted to try to follow along with us.
It's like, it's a great challenge. It's, I think it's just a little intimidating to hop into if you're coming from a place of, I don't really read a whole lot.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So I highly recommend it, and I might still do it anyway. I don't know. I think I might do multiple reading challenges this year. I don't know.
Well, I would not be surprised, honestly.
Yeah.
But let's try to come up with some criteria for a challenge for us and for maybe listeners to follow along with us.
Yeah.
You know, we can always read other stuff and talk about that on here, but maybe it might be kind of nice to fit it around this, or to have this as a separate thing. And did you have anything in mind, like on a preliminary basis, that you knew you wanted to include? Let's start with this, maybe. How many are we wanting to read?
Ooh, okay. A number. That should be good. I mean, keep in mind, we already have 7 books that we're planning to read together.
Yeah. Plus whatever other random things.
I mean, do we want to do 12?
So 12 it's like sounds one like a month? Good number to me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
12, perfect.
And maybe we could even, and we could talk about this too, but maybe that could be half books, half activities or something.
Yeah, so a reading podcast that I absolutely love, Reading Glasses, has their own reading challenge, which if you're looking for, you know, just more ideas on reading challenges, highly recommend theirs. I'll probably do theirs. Theirs is half books. They have like 5 books and then 5 activities. And I love that. So I would totally be interested in some kind of incorporating reading activities into our challenge. Either that, like, that's a component, like you have to read this type of book in this setting or something, or like, you know, 6 books and 6 activities. I don't know how you want to do it.
Yeah. So, okay. Why don't I just start with some of the things that I feel like might be important to me, and maybe we can,
awesome,
you do that, and then we'll meet in the middle somewhere.
Love it.
I would really love, I'm just going to pitch a few of these. I would love to read a book adaptation of a video game.
Ooh, love it.
Yeah. I think that could be fun. I probably have lots of opinions about that.
Yeah. No, I love that because so one of your just like New Year's resolutions in general is to beat how many games?
1 a month.
Okay, so to complete 12 games.
I really am going for way too much this year, but honestly, I'm ready for it, man. I've spent too many years not doing any of this stuff, so.
And like, even if you don't complete it, it's still more than if you hadn't committed to it. So like,
and it's still more fun to have the goal than to not have one at all.
Like, I'm fine if we don't actually finish it, but it's like, hey, we're reading together. This is awesome. So, yeah,
big fan.
Yeah, no, I love the video game thing because I'm a huge fan of like movie adaptations of books.
Yes.
So. And I know you're wanting, you enjoy gaming with me. I enjoy gaming with you, but I'm not as much of a gamer. So this could be fun. Right. Like, I could see myself much more getting into a game if I've read the book behind it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Sorry, my phone just vibrated somehow. It's weird.
I heard that.
anyway. Yeah, so that's definitely one of mine. Another one, which I can already think of a few options for, is I would love to read a book adaptation of a podcast.
Oh, love it.
Because there's a bunch of those coming out now. And then my only other thing that I think I feel pretty strongly about is I might like to have how do I phrase this? I want to read a nonfiction book that I learn a skill from.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I think doing that, and I'm not sure how you're wanting to do this, if you want to do this so that we are doing them together, like we're reading the same books, or if we both pick a thing for that topic and do it.
I think it could be either or.
Yeah, and we can, you know, see as we get along how that works.
Yeah.
And maybe for some we could do the same thing, and maybe for some we could do different. I think it would be fun to both try to learn a skill from a book in a month and then come back at the end and say, can I do that skill or can I not? And show the other person.
Yeah.
So I think that would be fun. What about you?
Yeah, no, these are all great.
Oh, thanks. I worked pretty hard on them. I didn't. I thought of them like just now.
So these, I feel like these are categories that were either part of last year's or this year's Read Harder Challenge, but that I've enjoyed is just reading more novels by and about both people of color and LGBT plus individuals. I think one of the challenge topics this year was read a book by a trans or non-binary person, and I'd really like that.
Yeah, I can't say that I've ever done that, and I would also love that.
Yeah, so, and, you know, I would say at least one category that has some type of diverse identity included in it. So we can kind of talk about, like, what most interests you, but, like, there's been a lot of really buzzy books by Indigenous writers. So I'd love to read something like that. So anyway, we can kind of come up with that, but some sort of diverse fiction novel. I've also read more books in translation, and I've really enjoyed that. So I think it could be really fun if we read a book that's translated from, like, let's say the author is from a country we want to visit.
I like that. I love that I can hear you typing. I don't know, man. I feel like podcasts like to cut that stuff out. And I love being able to hear that you are typing on a computer right now. That puts me right in the space with you.
Aww.
And I don't think I'm just saying that because I can literally imagine the space on the other side of this wall.
I was about to say, you're not in my space, which is the funny part. Well, and I also don't have that, like, very clacky keyboard that you have, so the sound is subtle and not, like, you know.
Mechanical keyboards are necessary, and I really love the sound that they make, but I guess it's just a personal preference thing. We don't have to fight about it, Jess. So, yeah. Okay, so what do we have so far?
So far we have 5 categories.
Okay. Should we come up with maybe one? Well, maybe we should come up with a couple more, narrow it down, and then are we wanting to do a mix of categories and reading and activities?
I would like that.
Yeah.
I'd like to introduce one more I guess genre based challenge.
Yes, please.
So loved that I was pushed to read a Western and romance novels, both categories I wouldn't normally have gone to, and I ended up really liking the ones I picked.
Yeah.
I am very easily terrified. The things that don't scare other people scare me. Like, took me a long time to watch the Scream movies, which for the most part are comedies.
Right. This has been an ongoing process, you guys.
Yeah.
Over the course of many years, Jess and I have been together for better part of a decade, actually an actual decade now.
An actual girl decade.
I'm so used to saying the better part of a decade.
Well, you've been the better part of my decade.
Oh my God. I just can't. You're adorable and I can't put up with it. Anyway, people are going to hate us. They're going to love us or hate us. I'm ready.
Yeah. Well, we're just that kind of people, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. So sorry and or if you've stuck around, thanks. Yeah. So
sorry, not sorry.
Not at all. Yeah. I don't remember what we were just talking about, but
Horror novels.
Yeah.
I would like to read.
I think so too, because I have strong feelings about some. And I know I can already think of one person who it might be pretty good to have on in preparation for that to talk
yes.
about it.
Yes. Tyler's very good friend. Actually the best man he wasn't your best man. Your brother was, but you know,
yeah, I was his best man.
Well, yes, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
One of your very good friends, loves almost exclusively, reads horror, writes horror.
He's an author now.
Yeah. So yeah, he would be great to be on, and maybe we should ask him for recommendations. But here's the thing is, like, I don't want to be absolutely terrified. Like,
right.
Sleep is very important to me. I need to be able to sleep. I have a job that requires a lot of, like, very
cognitive function.
A lot of cognitive function needing to be, like, present. Yeah. So I can't read something where I'm just absolutely terrified. Like, I want to enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, I enjoy roller coasters because there's this buildup and suspense and, like, nervousness. But then when I'm on the coaster, it's great and I love it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I want to have an experience where I can learn to love something that I might not normally have gone to. So some kind of horror that
I think the other good thing is, there's, without necessarily needing to be horror necessarily, there's a lot of books that just have a spooky vibe
or more
eerie than horror, and I get down with that a lot.
Because I read thrillers and they're great.
Yeah.
And I read, oh my goodness, I read I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is true crime. And that scared the pants off of me. And I'm like, not only am I scared of this, but this really happened and maybe it'll happen again. Oh my God, are our doors locked? But I was okay. I survived.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that would be fun, I think.
Yeah, it would.
And you like scary things, so I feel like you'd be on board for this.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely down. Let's see here.
So far we have 6 book-related categories.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking? It might be a cool idea to go with that for now and then maybe come up with activities and have those not be pre-announced or something.
Ooh.
More of a little surprise as they happen, and maybe we can do them. Might be kind of another thing that I like in podcasts is when somebody is doing something in real time. So maybe we could do some of these activities and ask our listeners to do them with us somehow.
Cool. I think somehow giving advance notice, so it's not like you're currently listening to this and the thing is you have to go do this and you're like, okay, let me stop.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll just announce it on the at the end of the episode. We'll be like, okay, next episode we're doing this, so be ready.
Love it. Yes.
Yeah, that could be fun.
And I think at some point, depending on how this goes, we could get on some of the socials, mm-hmm. you know, and give mm-hmm. like Instagram or Twitter updates or have like email address you could write.
We'll probably create a Goodreads group or community or however that works.
Into it, yeah.
I'm going to leave that to you. This is a good start. I'm feeling good about all this, and hopefully listeners are feeling good too and feeling encouraged and like it is possible to read.
Totally. Like, I can already think of like books that I'm very excited about that fit a lot of these categories.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I can too.
Yeah. Like, I was already planning on reading the next Adventure Zone graphic novel.
Oh, you know, I cannot. I'm just want to apologize in advance for the amount of McElroy brother related content that will be on this podcast, because
we're a fan of those good boys and everyone in their family.
Yeah. Oh, just so much. I can't really go into it right now because I will talk about it forever. But anyway, this has been great. I hope that you guys have enjoyed listening, and I know it was kind of a long one, but you know, kind of getting to know us and what we're about. And it's been
good... I'm singing that song from The King and I in my head.
The one that we definitely both know, and it goes like this, because we're going to sing it together. One, two, three.
I don't think you know The King and I. Usually you're up on musicals, but yeah. I remember you saying you haven't seen it. That's a gap in my it's okay.
That's the thing I want to talk about too at some point, knowledge gaps, like, because I feel like you're a really big reader and there's probably some huge gaps, like big classic books that you just never read. And
anyway, totally, yeah, we'll, that'll we'll be another miscellaneous chat, I guess.
Yeah.
This is fun. I just super love
fun. I love getting this time with you. And is there anything that we should impart to anybody? Obviously, I mentioned it earlier, but you can get on the Anchor app and look us up, Flourish and Blots. Send us a message with any questions or input or ideas for things. Obviously, you got to tell us what house you think Jess is in, what Hogwarts house.
Tell us what you're really reading.
Yeah.
Give us recommendations. If you have like recommendations for the 6 book categories we've talked about so far, please, please, please send them. I loved this and I love you.
I love this and I love you too. Well, I guess everybody take it easy, and we will see you in the next episode. I wish we had a more well-defined way to end this, but maybe we'll find that.
Yeah, I was trying to find like a book punny like catchphrase, like read you later, but I don't have it. So, to be continued, I guess.
To be continued. All right, y'all. Till the next chapter.
Huh?
It's not going to be that, whatever it is.